3-1 pitch, swing and a drive. Deep to right field, way up there, way out of here. Goodbye, baseball.
Eight strikeouts for the King tonight and make it 23 consecutive scoreless innings for Felix.
Strike three called on the outside corner, and there it is.
It's time for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Kyle Seager!
Here's your host, Gary Hill.
And it's time again for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast. Thanks for being back. Gary Hill with you. Mariners, a nice win, more than a nice win, against the San Francisco Giants. A game where, boy, a lot came together. Defense was superb, pitching outstanding, timely hitting across the way, some power mixed in as well. Great starting pitching, great bullpen, and it all came together for a win over the San Francisco Giants. We'll detail it coming up in just a moment. We'll hear from the skipper after the ball game as well. That comes up. Also, Josh Kearns is back, another feature, and this one on Rick Riz, the voice of the Seattle Mariners. That comes up in a few minutes, which is outstanding. And then Greg Green is going to join us. He's going to preview the homestand coming up. And it's an exciting one. You've got two against the San Francisco Giants. Felix Hernandez against Madison Bumgarner in one of them. It's hard to get much better matchup than that. And then the Houston Astros, maybe a little revenge on the mind of the M's coming up this weekend. And then the Kansas City Royals coming in. So in the same homestand, you have the two World Series participants from last season, and the Royals playing some good baseball. So it should be a very fun, very exciting homestand, and Greg Green is going to be here to talk about everything that's happening around the homestand, including Star Wars night at Safeco Field. Let's get to the ballgame last night, though. There is a ton to like about this ballgame. The Mariners win it. They beat San Francisco. They're now 4-3 on this road trip. After everything we've talked about, some of the games that we've seen on this road trip, but when it's all said and done, 4-3, tomorrow at this time, we could be potentially talking about a 5-3 road trip, which would be very impressive after taking the series against Cleveland, losing 2 out of 3 against Houston, and we'll preview the matchup coming up today against the San Francisco Giants. But a lot to like. First of all, the at-bats. You know, they only draw one walk in the ball game, but consistent, solid at-bats throughout the ball game. And the numbers of pitches in this game. Morrison, the leadoff man, he saw 19 pitches in the ball game. Jackson batting second, he saw 19. Cano batting third, he saw 18. Cruz, 16. Seager, 19. Seth Smith, one of the leaders in all of baseball in pitches seen per at-bat. He's over four a ball game, well over four a ball game. He saw 17. Miller saw 17. I mean, just good at-bats, making Hudson work. He only ends up going 5 innings because of that. Just consistent, solid. And the other big aspect to this one offensively, we've talked about runners in scoring position a lot with this team for obvious reasons, but as I say all the time, it's not always about getting hits with runners in scoring position. It's about the good at-bats moving the guys into scoring position and then doing what's right to get them in. Could be a ground ball. Could be a fly ball. I mean, it doesn't always have to be a hit, and that was perfectly executed in this game. They did the right thing when they needed to. Went the other way to move the guys along. The ground ball to score the run. I mean, it's such a major difference between striking out with a runner at third and one out as opposed to just hitting a ground ball, running as hard as you can to first base and beating it out and scoring a run. I mean, that can win you ball games. And for this team, that's been one of the missing pieces. They haven't done that enough. Just the consistent hitting the ball the other way on the ground to get a run in, or to move the runner to third, or the fly ball to score the run. It's not always about the base hit. It's about getting it done with the runners in scoring position one way or another. And they got it done in this ball game, which was great to see. And they did it right away. And the Mariners have been tough to beat this year when scoring first. And they didn't waste any time getting on the board in the very first inning.
The set by Hudson. He delivers, swing, and a ground ball to Panic at second. Over to second for one. Crawford's relay to first, not in time. Safe at first is Cruz, and the Mariners get a run out of it. Morrison will score from third base. And the Mariners have a 1-0 lead thanks to the hustle of Nelson Cruz, called safe at first.
It really is a thing of beauty. Just a ground ball driving in a run. The Mariners with one on the board. Giants would strike back, and they would get one in the second. Taijuan Walker, you know, he had his struggles with runners on base early in the season, but, you know, those last few outings with runners on, he's really buckled down. He hasn't given in and gave up a run in the second, but got some help in the third inning, some steady defense. Defense was solid in this one.
Walker's next pitch. Swinging a ground ball, left side, middle, ranging, scoops low, bobbles, recovers, form behind the bag at second, twist, turns, throws to first in time, and he nabs his counterpart, Brandon Crawford, just barely. That is big as it keeps Pagan stranded at third.
And then from there, Taijuan Walker just really settled into the groove. He was rolling.
The 1-2 pitch, swing and a miss, strike three, a fastball from Taijuan Walker. That is strikeout number four for Walker, and it's a 1-2-3 bottom of the fifth inning for the Giants. Walker has retired the last nine Giant hitters in a row.
Yeah, he put it in cruise control. Right before that, too, the Mariners put two on the board to get the lead. It was Logan Morrison, the leadoff, middle of everything in this game.
Hudson ready and the 1-1 swing and a line drive over the head of Panic at second into right field. Miller running third, being waved in. The throw to the plate by Parker up the line and safe at home is Brad Miller with a slide, and the Mariners have a 2-1 lead in the ball game.
Then Austin Jackson, he continues to swing a hot stick.
3-2 offer to Jackson. Swing and a line drive, base hit into center field. And here comes Morrison running third. He will score. 5-1 Mariners lead. Austin Jackson with an RBI single up of the ball as Pagan gets the throw into second base. And the Mariners pick up the insurance run they were looking for here in the top of the ninth.
Well, you can't ask for much more out of your first two. Morrison Jackson combined 5 for 10 in the game, 3 ribbies, 2 runs scored, and they saw nearly 40 pitches combined and only fanned one time. That is a great night for the top two in the order, really setting the table for the M's. As off and rolling at that point, 3-1, the Mariners the lead. Taijuan Walker, he would go 7 strong, 7 hits, 1 run, no walks and 6 strikeouts. And the no walks to me is the big, big key. It's a trend that continues and a glorious trend to see. Taijuan Walker, his first 9 starts through 43 innings, walked 23. So 23 walks and 43 innings. His last 4 turns, he's thrown 29 innings. He's walked a grand total of 3. I mean, that says what you need to know about his command right there. And the command has been the difference. We'll hear from Lloyd McClendon in just a second. He's going to echo those same comments. Command the difference, and they bear out in the numbers. 23 walks, just 3 in his last 4 starts. And he has been outstanding in his last 4 starts. Taijuan Walker, 5 earned runs, his past 29 innings, 4 starts, a 1.55 ERA in that stretch, and he's given him some big innings as well, consistently going deep in the ball games. 8, 8, 6, and 7 in his last 4. And again, the Mariners needed it. Their bullpen had been beat up in the last 4 games, and so it was huge to get 7 big innings from Taijuan Walker in this one. So great stuff all the way around for the Mariners starter. He grabbed his 4th win of the year as well, which is a nice thing to see. It was also nice to see the Mariners a 2-run lead at that point, but they added some insurance.
Here's the next offer. Swing and a well-hit ball deep to right center field. This one is going and going. Goodbye, baseball. Into the bleachers over the tall wall in right center field. Kyle Seager with his 11th home run of the year.
Kyle Seager does it again. Now, Kyle Seager hit it off a lefty again, too. That's his 5th home run. As a left-handed hitter against a left-handed pitcher, that is the most for anyone in baseball. Prince Fielder has 4. Lucas Duda has 4. So they're 2nd on the list. But Kyle Seager, 5th home run against a lefty. That's impressive stuff. And then I look back the last calendar year, so the last 365 days, in terms of third baseman, he's been one of the best with the long ball. Todd Frazier from Cincinnati. Doesn't get a lot of run nationally, but he's been great the last 2 years. He's been one of the best at the 3-bag in the majors. He's swatted 32 homers in the last 365 days. Josh Donaldson has hit 29. The outstanding young third baseman for the Rockies, Nolan Arenado, has hit 28. And Kyle Seager right there with 27, the fourth most homers the last calendar year for any third baseman in the major leagues. And he did it off of a lefty, gave the Mariners an additional run, eked out the lead a little bit more, and then they'd add another one, Austin Jackson doing it again.
3-2 offer to Jackson, swinging a line drive, base hit into center field, and here comes Morrison running third. He will score. 5-1 Mariners lead. Austin Jackson with an RBI single up of the ball is Pagan. Gets the throw into second base, and the Mariners pick up the insurance run they were looking for here in the top of the ninth.
There's just so much to like about this game offensively. Guys getting on, guys moving over, guys scoring runs, getting hits, a little bit of power mixed in. But there is just a lot to love. This is one that you'd want to see replicated time and time again. If they can put four or five runs on the board consistently, they'll go on a streak. Now we'll see if they can do it consistently. So on to the eighth inning, bottom of the eighth inning, and Mark Lowe comes on, and his story just becomes better and better and better as, I mean, wow. He's the eighth inning guy. 0.92 ERA now after pitching another outstanding inning.
The 0-2. Swing and a miss at a slider. Strike three. What a job by Lowe in relief. 1-2-3 in the bottom of the eighth with a couple of strikeouts.
Yep. Easy as you please. 0.92 ERA. What a story. Back with the M's and just dealing in an incredibly important role. And Charlie Frobisch comes in. He locks it down.
The pitch on the way. Swing and a miss. Strike three. And this ball game is over. The Mariners win it tonight here in San Francisco. 5-1 over the Giants. And Taijuan Walker picks up his fourth win.
Good stuff all the way around. Five runs, 12 hits. Mariners, one run, seven hits. San Francisco, Logan Morrison. He had three of the hits, two runs, one RBI out of the leadoff spot. Here he was after the game.
You know, a three-run lead is good, but a four-run lead's even better. With a guy that's kind of slow to the plate, I feel like I get him, got the sign, and got the sign actually the pitch before and didn't feel like I got a good jump, so I shut it down, and then the next one went ahead and got the base. So, you know, it was good to be able to get on there, and then a huge swing by Jax. He crushed that, and, you know, it was good to come out with a win.
We saw so many things right. I mean, that's good baseball there, and we saw that throughout the game. I know it's been up and down for you guys, but to come out and to have that kind of a game today.
Definitely. Ty made pitches when he had to. Miller's play, I think it was maybe in the third. I can't remember, but it was a big play. Keep him off the board early there. And, man, yeah, that was a play of the game. And we played great defense, and Ty pitched a hell of a game. And offense scored enough runs.
I don't know what it is about you in the leadoff position, but one thing you do get right, you set a good tone. Yeah. And Tim Hudson, he's a guy that you've seen before, not a lot of success. You had it today. What were you looking for?
Pitches over the middle of the plate, like I usually do. Yeah, no secret. You know, he's tough. I remember I was like his 2,500 strikeout or something in Atlanta.
Good job.
Yeah, so there was that. I think they gave out free burritos or something, but you're welcome, Atlanta. You know, he's a tough pitcher. We were able to get his pitch count up and get him out of the game early. It was good to get to their bullpen, and look forward to doing it again tomorrow.
Yeah, and they'll look to do it today. We'll talk about that in just a second. Here was Lloyd McClendon.
That was about as clean a game as we played in some time. It was very nice to see.
Taijuan continues to put together one start after another. Is he becoming that guy that you think you and the organization can be?
He's doing a nice job. He's well on his way, but he's certainly not a finished product quite yet, but I think I like what I see.
How much of that is command? I mean, I think it's all command.
You know, when you have command in your fastball, then you can do other things. And he did that tonight. He threw some real good change-ups, some give-me-over breaking balls, a couple of real good sliders. But it starts with command of the fastball.
Do you think he's a different kid? You remember in Toronto where you left him out there in that inning to see if he could work out of it. Do you think he's different now with runners on? He had a lot of runners on tonight and kind of fought his way out.
I never saw any panic. I saw him continue to pound the ball downstairs. Made some quality pitches when he needed to make them.
How How much of the aggression on the base paths was planned tonight versus just what you wanted to see the entire season?
Well, listen, it's been an adventure at times for us on the bases. And I think tonight it kind of shows you what we're capable of doing when we do it right. And it was nice to see the guys run the bases the way they ran them.
Hudson can be tough. A lot of stuff moves in a lot of different directions, but it looked like you guys kind of grinded on him a little bit and made him
work. He's a veteran guy. This guy knows what he's doing. He's been around a long time, and he's a quality pitcher. And, you know, we were fortunate he left a few balls up, and we were able to take advantage of him.
Cruz showed you some giddy up in the first inning, too.
Yeah, that's a big play. Yeah. A little life in this team. How about that?
You talked about a little bit of that killer instinct, Seager hitting the bomb in the eighth and getting another one from Lomo stealing the base and Austin getting the single. I mean, is that something, a sign of kind of what you want to see there?
Yeah, I think, you know, we have to have the ability to add on. You know, that's what keeps teams at bay. You know, when you get a lead and you have the ability to add on, it, you know, kind of quiets the spirit a little bit, so to speak.
So we'll see if they bottle that one up and they roll it out today, this afternoon, 12:45. First pitch from San Francisco, J-Hap, 3-2, 3.72 ERA. Looking for a little bounce back, going against a hometown hero, Tim Lincecum, the former University of Washington standout. He'll take the mound, 6-3, a 3.33 ERA. He's had a nice bounce back season for San Francisco. He really struggled at times a year ago, really at times the last couple of seasons, but he has bounced back nicely. He's adjusting to his loss of velocity, really got off to an outstanding start early in the season. His last few turns haven't been as strong. 4 2/3 last time out, 2 earned runs. 6 innings last time out, 4 earned runs. Only lasted 4 1/3 the time before that, 4 earned. Gave up 4 earned in 5 innings before that. So it's been a little more rocky. At that point, heading into his start 4 starts ago, his ERA on the season was 2.08. That gives you an idea of how good he was in the first part of the season. His first 8 starts, 2.08 ERA. It's gone up now to 3.33. He's got a 5.06 in June. So not trending the way he wants to be trending, but we'll see if the Mariners can take advantage of Tim Lincecum coming up today. And J Happ, I mean, his splits are pretty extreme at this point. He has loved every second he's been in Safeco Field. A 1.88 ERA, 38 1/3 innings, just 8 earned runs given up there. On the road, it's been a different story, 6.14, but San Francisco, a place that he can have some success. So this could be a good matchup team-wise, park-wise, for J Happ in this one. And again, looks to bounce back after a tough start against Cleveland. So we'll see what happens. In the meantime, let's hand things over right now to Josh Kearns, back again. I have loved his series all year long. And this one, he talks about the radio broadcast, Rick Riz in particular. Here he is.
Hours before the start of every Mariners game, well before the press box even starts to fill up, you can pretty much count on who'll be the first one in the door and still thrilled to be there every day. Anyone who's been around the M's the past 30 years knows that laugh could only belong to one guy, the irrepressible Rick Riz. And after all these seasons, his game day prep still begins the moment he gets up.
I would think you could show up 10 minutes before the game and and just phone it in, but you are here hours before anybody else. Why do you still do that?
Well, because, Josh, I love it. I've been doing this, it seems like, my entire life. When I was 12 years old, I wanted to be a Major League broadcaster.
And Rick's dream became reality way back in 1983 when the legendary Dave Niehaus convinced then-owner George Argyris to give him a shot. And since then, Rick has worked tirelessly to make every game special.
David taught me a lot about the preparation of the game. That's so much about being successful in our business, because no matter what's going on in our lives, we've got to check it at the door and remember that we have a responsibility to the fans. So I want to make sure I put in this effort right here.
Rick sits alone in the broadcast booth hours before the game, poring over his Bible, a scorebook he crams every day with facts and figures gleaned from every source imaginable. It's amazing how much he can pack onto the page in what looks like some strange code or hieroglyphics decipherable only to him.
Yeah, it's everything has a place, everything has a reason for being in my scorebook.
But even though that book is crammed with enough info to bore even the biggest baseball geek, Rick says ultimately conveying what's happening on the field is what matters most.
You know, that's what the listeners are waiting for you to describe what's happening. And in our job, if we choose the right words and if we do our job well, then we can make the fans listening on the radio see it on the radio.
Swing and a fly ball deep into right center field. Guyer on the run going back, and this one is gone. Goodbye, baseball.
Oh, Rick sees plenty, and he hears a lot, too, a lot more than the rest of us. Spending so much time with the manager, coaches, and players, he gets all the inside scoops, but a lot of times he has to keep mum, even if he gets a juicy piece of information he's dying to tell everybody else.
Listen. Want to know a secret?
Oh, absolutely. Lou was like that. He was very, very trusting of you. Lloyd McLennan is the same way. And there were things that I found out that there was no way I would bring back to the booth. There's no way. Because once you break that trust, you know, you don't get it back.
And every once in a while, you say something you can't take back. Rick admits he's stuck his foot in his mouth more than a few times.
This is live radio. We do it pretty much on a daily basis, but that's the excitement and the joy of it. You know, it's out there, so you just go ahead and laugh it off.
And even after all these years, sometimes he just plain screws up. Like the time recently he turned off his mic while introducing his partner, Aaron Goldsmith.
Top of the six for the play-by-play. Here's Aaron.
I turned off my mic too quickly.
But Rick doesn't miss much. His ability to remember the most seemingly random facts and stories is one of the things that makes him so special. It's just one of the traits he shared with Niehaus, a guy he still thinks about every day.
Sometimes I still think he's going to walk in that door behind us where we're doing the interview right now here in the radio booth. He taught me everything about this. He gave me my opportunity. He got me here twice.
Mariners leading the Indians by a score of 2-1 for the play-by-play. Here's Aaron.
All right, Rick.
And now Rick's paying it forward, mentoring Goldsmith, the young guy plucked from the minors to fill out the broadcast team 3 years ago. But don't expect Rick to step away from the mic anytime soon. So don't be surprised to see him sitting here years from now, still going bonkers for baseball, just like he did as a kid.
Swung on and belted in the left field. He just missed the second deck. Fly, fly, fly away. I don't believe it.
I'm Josh Kearns.
Talking baseball. Klazuski Campanella talking baseball. The man and Bobby Fett.
And finally, big homestand coming up starting tomorrow. The Mariners will take on the San Francisco Giants. Felix Hernandez, Madison Bumgarner. Doesn't get much better than that. Good homestand coming up. Here's Greg Green to talk about it.
What a homestand coming up for the Mariners. The Giants coming to town. Interleague play from Safeco Field against the defending World Series champs. The Astros coming to town as well. The Mariners and the Astros always play each other tough. And then the defending American League champion, Kansas City Royals, will be coming to town as well. So you've got two teams that played in the Fall Classic and then a divisional series as well against Houston. So really a big homestand coming up. As if you haven't noticed already this year, the Mariners are on the road for a long time and then they are home for a long time. And before we get to Greg Green, as we are now joined by Greg Green on the phone. And Gigi, it's good to have you with us. This is quite the homestand coming up for the Mariners.
Yeah. And yeah, we see both World Series participants last year at the front and the back end. You see the San Francisco Giants coming in for a rare interleague series at Safeco Field at the front end, and then we finish off with three against the Kansas City Royals. So we see some of the best from last year.
We know that Kings Court will be in session, and Kings Court is always fun, but it's even more fun when you have a pitching matchup like we will see when the Giants come to town. Felix versus Madison Bumgarner, that's going to be a good one.
Yeah, that like I said, you don't see the Giants very often in Safeco Field, and you don't see pitching matchups like this very often. It's a marquee matchup, you know, seeing what we know is the best pitcher in the AL go up against a guy that just did something that nobody had ever seen before in the World Series last year in Madison Bumgarner. That should be one for the ages on Wednesday at the ballpark. And, yeah, there's King's Court tickets available, so, you know, come out and support the King on Wednesday evening.
And Gigi, I know you are you're a Star Wars guy, correct?
I am. I got two young boys, and I've handed down that trait to them too. They've got all my old Star Wars stuff, and they're looking forward to Friday night Star Wars night. We haven't done a Star Wars night in a few years, not since the Kingdom days, and you know, with the new movie coming out in December and lots to celebrate around the franchise, we're rolling out a Star Wars night. Chance your fans to dress up, meet 50 characters. We have 50 Star Wars characters come to the ballpark. Get your photo with them, and we'll have some other surprises. And then the grand finale is the Star Wars themed fireworks show at the end of the night, which should be totally out of this galaxy, if you will.
I'm excited to see especially how the video board plays with that. That's going to be a fun time. So that is on Friday, June 19th, when the Astros are in town. And Gigi, I know this is a little far in advance, but since the Mariners will be home on Father's Day, happy Father's Day to you, as it's always nice to be at home on Father's Day. And that'll be a good day at the ballpark as well.
You as well, Aaron. This will be your first Father's Day, right?
It will be. Thank you, Gigi.
We'll have to, you know what the appropriate gift for your first Father's Day is? The catcher's apron, which we happen to be giving away. So we'll
crossing my fingers.
My Cineo aprons, yeah. So you can strap it on during your barbecuing. And yeah, we're giving away those aprons to the first 10,000 dads on Sunday for Father's Day. And, you know, we didn't forget the kids as well. It's youth baseball day, so we've got this really cool Mariners cap that every kid 14 and under that comes to the gates is going to pick up on Sunday. So bring dad out to the ballpark, bring all the kids. It's always a good way to spend the day.
And we guarantee sunshine on Father's Day, right? That's kind of part of the deal?
Yes. We work that out in advance. We check the almanac and everything.
And, you know, Gigi, All-Star game coming up in about a month in Cincinnati, and I know we're trying to get the vote out there for Nelson Cruz, aren't we?
Yeah, we are definitely trying to push Nelson. He's in a tight battle with our old friend Kendrys Morales from the Royals. We're adding a little incentive to the pot for Mariners fans to get out the vote. If you can vote up to 35 times, and if you do vote 35 times online for Cruz and pick Mariners as your favorite team when you're voting, you got a chance to win front row seats to the Nelson Cruz bobblehead night and an autographed Nelson Cruz baseball. So a pretty good prize for getting out there and rocking the vote for the boomstick.
Very nice. And very briefly, before we let you go here, Gigi, Rick just gave me the international sign for a bocce ball.
Yes.
My favorite day, Italian Heritage Day.
That's coming up. That's we coming love up, seeing Ricky get out there and toss the balls around and, represent his people.
That'll be on Saturday, June 20th. It is Rick Riz Day at the ballpark. So,
it is.
Greg, thank you as always for joining us. Good information as always.
And now the right-hander ready in the 0-1 delivery on the way to Cameron. Swung on and a high fly ball hit deep to left field. That will fly away. The magic is still here. Mike Cameron has hit a two-run home run to give the Mariners the lead amazingly. 5-4. Unbelievable. First pitch. It's been 2 weeks to the day since Cameron homered. And he comes back, and he hits a dramatic home run. That puts the Mariners ahead, and 44,000 again are going absolutely bonzo.
See you later!